It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
Good morning out there, faithful listeners to the Independence Network, and welcome to the morning show. Going to do something a little different today, as the illustrious from high above, David Iverson, is still on the road, making his way back from the Middle Swamp in Cheyenne after doing a personal appearance in defense of the Constitution as it's currently written last night. Jailbird Joey in the driver's seat today, and we're going to go back to something we did during session. We covered a press conference on a CO2 coalition meeting that happened. I'm not going to play the entirety of the hearing, but the press conference from after the hearing during the legislative session as kind of a setup to something we're going to step into on Wide Right Turn at 11 a.m. So stick around with the Independence Network. Tune in to hear what Jailbird Joey and Tom Kelly have to say about this global warming CO2 carbon capture garbage that apparently is sinking its fangs into Wyoming industry. And we'll try to wrap up your day and put it all together in one big package for you if you stick around till the end of the morning right here on the Independence Network. Looks like we had a press conference with Senator Sherry Steinmetz and the rest of the conservatives who attended and supported that CO2 coalition oversight hearing earlier in the week. So we'll be getting to that in just a minute. So make sure you're sticking around and listening to the Independence Network. Get all of that content that you're looking for and that we're working hard in our free time to provide for you. With that, I think we're going to go ahead and just jump into this press conference with Senator Steinmetz, Secretary of State Chuck Gray, and the rest of the conservatives calling out the media and the CO2 hoaxers trying to drain your wallets and kill our state with their feelings. And you'll hear all about it in their own words right here, right now, on the Independence Network.
Legislators from across the state are being faced with an agenda that celebrates climate hysteria and seeks to address it through the capturing of CO2. At the same time, our voters, the citizens of Wyoming, are rightly skeptical of this so-called crisis and permanent carbon capture and sequestration. Wyomingites are finding their own crisis. They're struggling to put food on the table and fuel in their car during the Biden administration's failing economy, involvement in their children's education, and affordable property taxes, to name a few things. The top-down approach to drive our state headlong into CO2 policies that are not working for American citizens is at the least of the threats facing the people and the legislators in Cheyenne they represent. Yesterday afternoon, upon adjournment, the legislative workday, the Senate Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources Committee held a hearing to gather facts and encourage an open dialogue about CO2 and carbon capture. The issue should be addressed with all of Wyoming's leaders working together to pursue what is best for our state. A true cost-benefit analysis is an imperative part of this policy debate and this issue. As a state that deeply values our land, providing food, fiber, and natural resources for a growing population and protecting our water, we should be a state highly skeptical of the dangers of pumping mass concentrations of plant food into pore space all over our state. While woke energy policy and policy seeking to be reliant on as many federal government handouts as possible continues to take Wyoming by firestorm, we must stand in the gap and protect the true interests of Wyomingites, our fiscal responsibilities with their money, and their safety long into the future. And that is why we had our hearing last night and why we are running a few bills this session, including Senate File 101, Low Carbon Energy Standards Repeal. This bill would repeal House Bill 200 from the 2020 legislative session that created a low carbon standard in the state of Wyoming. Wyoming citizens are facing rate increases due to this technology, as well as the parasitic load on our coal-fired power plants that require 30% more electricity to be produced in order to use this technology. According to a report given to the legislature, it is estimated the increase would produce a $25.34 a month increase to a current residential customer, and a typical commercial customer could see an increase of $40.71 on their current monthly bills. We are taking action to try and rectify this, and if technology becomes available that might address this in the future. However, we need to have a real debate on whether the cost-benefit analysis of these technologies and policies, and we also need to have a true debate on the benefits versus the detriments of our fossil fuel industry. Wyoming needs to take a strong stand on this issue rather than follow the lead of the Biden administration. Thanks for coming today, and now I'll turn the microphone over to Secretary Gray, first of all, and then we will hear from other Wyoming legislators who have coalesced around these ideas and thoughts with regarding governing the state of Wyoming. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator Steinmetz. Served with Senator Steinmetz in the House before she moved over to the Senate, and really enjoyed serving with her in the House and working with her on these issues on protecting our Wyoming legacy industries. So first thing I want to know yesterday was the scholarship that we heard from, just the research and the data. And I invite you in the media to look at that, to put out the truth, because the media has been a big part of the problem in pushing this climate hysteria narrative. Let's compare Al Gore versus the gentleman yesterday that spoke. I mean, I take those gentlemen any day. And I think you in the media, when we talk about a lot of the damage that has been done in our country, I think it's really three entities. I mean, it's the Democrats, it's the insiders, and it's the media. And the media of all those is, I would say, of those three, in many ways, the most powerful in pushing just a dishonest agenda. And this is another example of how they've done that. So I hope the media looks at this and focuses here on Ash Wednesday on what the truth is and putting out the truth about this climate hysteria and the human toll of this climate hysteria. Every time I travel our state, I try to meet with individuals I meet along the way, and was at an event there in Rock Springs, and somebody at the end asked me to come by his house the next day before I left to come back to Cheyenne. And I visited with him for an hour and a half, and this gentleman started talking about, I said, how are things going in your life? And how are you doing? And he started talking about how he was going to have, he was trying to find somebody to come into his house to be able to fix his refrigerator. And the toll that this Obama, Biden, Soros climate hysteria has taken on his family and his ability to reach his full potential as an individual. The reason I got involved in politics in the first place was I wanted to try to help people reach their God-given potential. And this is another example of all these narratives converging in our state, the property tax increases, the ESG agenda, this climate hysteria. It's all about trying to prevent human beings from being able to reach our full potential. And we're in Wyoming at the center of that agenda, unfortunately. And we must push back on it. And I think this hearing yesterday is part of that, and we need to continue to do so. And you think about national security-wise, the danger we're being put in by not being able to reach our full potential in producing energy in our state, the danger that's putting us in. China's loving the climate hysteria. They love this narrative pushed by the media, the Dems, and the insiders. And that's another reason we must push back on it here in Wyoming state government. The other thing I want to note is I'm sick of the talk. I'm sick of individuals in leadership positions saying they're going to do something to help our state reach our full potential and not do that. And I think about the coal export issue, where we had a tremendous opportunity during the Trump administration because he was going to provide permitting for that export facility in Washington state that was being blocked by that psychopath Governor Inslee. And he blocked that. We should have filed an interstate commerce clause lawsuit much earlier than we did. The governor vetoed our bill to begin that litigation, and unfortunately he waited an entire year to begin that litigation until January 2020. And it was way too late. COVID started 2 months later, and then the administration, of course, ended. And timing is everything in life. We need to have elected officials in our state that are going to not just talk the talk on this issue, but take action to advance all of our legacy industries, coal, oil, gas, ag, Trona, period. And I want to emphasize that all these agendas are converging. I mean, you think about ESG, preventing us from being able to reach our full potential there, increasing property taxes, what BLM is doing in trying to lock up all of Southwest Wyoming for mineral extraction, and of course, the climate hysteria. It's all these agendas converging to try to prevent our country and our state from being able to reach our full potential, and we must push back on it with every means necessary, and it's not just about talk. It's about real action from Wyoming leaders, and that's what this group is doing, and we're going to continue doing. Thank you very much, and now I'm going to introduce a good friend of mine, served in the House with him, Majority Floor Leader Chip Nyman.
Yes. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I guess I want to first of all thank Senator Steinmetz and the Agricultural Committee for having the courage to be able to put together that kind of format. Good question was asked to me earlier. It was the fact that, was that an appropriate way of using the legislature meeting? I don't know how much more appropriate it could be based on the fact of the implications and how deeply involved agriculture is in the whole issue of climate change that is being proposed in the agenda. They're talking about now about how the fact we need to start monitoring. I'm a rancher by my occupation. They say we need to control the methane that my cattle are producing because it's creating problems and everything else. So I truly do appreciate Senator Steinmetz and the Ag Committee's willingness to bring these folks here and bring us education. And that's what we're talking about here. We're trying to educate people. We've heard the other side. And a lot of folks on my side of the aisle have been very reserved about trying to fight back. But folks, as we look at what's going on over the sea, we look at what's happening in other countries, the actual phrase of energy poverty is starting to be shared around the world. And where people that are the most desperately needing this energy are the poorest countries are going to be hit the worst and the hardest. Because the folks that need the help, that have the least amount of opportunity, the amount of funding, they're going to pay the most. It's going to hurt them the most. And so as we continue to push agendas that are going to increase these levels of costs, we see the problems with Rocky Mountain Power and all the things that are being thrust on them and others by other states and their legislators who are willing, and that's great, pass that. But those costs have to be borne by someone. And that increases the cost of people to be able to do business, to be able to heat their homes, be able to manufacture goods. All of that plays into this narrative. And as we look at the comparison, what is the benefit versus the cost? And so much of that information that we were able to be looking at down there last night and was shared was a stark reality check to what it really costs and what we benefit as human beings on this planet through the use of our natural resources and our coal and our carbon resources. We have to compare that. What are we benefiting? How are we better off right now? Would a two degree change in the temperature of the climate, how is that going to affect our ability to be able to produce food and fiber to feed the ongoing and increasing number of population on this earth? Can we produce consistent, stable power? Is that important? It certainly is important. If you're on the operating table, you want to make sure that the power doesn't blink. That's all stuff that we don't think about. It's just the fact that, many countries that are financially well off, we have time to worry about changing the climate. We're in pretty good shape. But what's most important to people that don't have that kind of financial space to be able to operate in? What's going on in Africa? What's going on in third world countries? Where they're worried more about what they're going to eat and how they're going to heat their home and whether or not we should be limiting our ability to be able to have those choices like we are trying to do here right now. Point was made earlier. China, India, Russia, they're not worried about how they're heating. China is building coal-fired power plants at a rocket speed. We're going to try to put our own companies out of business so that China can go ahead and pollute. They're not terribly concerned about the atmosphere right now. What are we going to do about preventing them from being able to do that kind of an impact on our Earth? We're all in this together. Last time I checked, what happens there gets here. So let's be realistic about what's going on here. Let's not cut our nose off to spite our face. And I really do appreciate what Senator Steinmetz is doing and the effort that she's making to bring awareness to this and to realize and understand that Wyoming is where we need to be at to produce the energy to make this country secure. And as we look for ways to try to undermine that, we are compromising not only this state and its people, this nation, but ultimately the world. The world still counts on the United States of America to be the strength and to be able to bring what they need to provide protection and the energy and the dollars to be able to make this thing turn. We cannot afford to undermine what we have been blessed royally with in this nation and specifically in this state, and that's carbon fuels. They're efficient, consistent, and that's what we have to be able to survive in this country and in this world. Thank you for your time. And now, I'd like for you to meet Senator Dan Larson. He's got some more points he'd like to share with you.
Thank you. Thank you. I, too, want to thank Senator Steinmetz for bringing this forward. It's a very, very important topic, and it was fantastic, the grouping that she brought last night to present their findings or what they know. And I do want to mention two of the things I heard, and they stood out to me, were the death zone. They talked about a death zone, and that's at 150 parts per million, and that's when our plants, they just die. And they said, I don't know when it happened, probably a long, long time ago, we got close to that, to 182 parts per million. But currently we're around the 400. And we all know CO2 is good. That's, plants have to have it. The more there's there, the plants do better. But that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I'm so happy to be with these other legislators standing up and saying this is the CO2 scam. It's out there. It's coming from our liberals and the Biden administration, definitely. But we need to fight back and educate people and let them know this. It's all about control. That's what I believe. All about control. I'm going to introduce a good friend, Representative Harrelson, is going to speak next. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for giving me the opportunity to come out and speak today. 8 years working in a coal-fired power plant. It was drilled through our heads from the first day we hired on. Your job is to produce cost-effective, clean, affordable, and reliable energy. And that's something that we were driven every single day. Whenever it was 2 o'clock in the morning and 20 below zero and you're trying to make sure a coal system continues to run, you're sitting there saying, you know what, we need cost-effective, clean, affordable, and reliable power. And if we can give that to our end consumers, we stay a first world nation. And you guys need to understand something. If we continue down this road, we've got a problem. Their options don't produce the power required to keep up with what America is demanding. And I've said from the very beginning, I'm not opposed to new ideas. I believe new ideas are amazing. What I believe we do have, though, is this. I believe that we are actually making decisions without the reality of what we're going to come out on the back end with. We don't have the science behind it. When we were kids, we were always told it's all about the science. You need to see the science behind it. The reality is we are making decisions in America in the political realm not based on fact or science. We're being based upon the ideologies of a certain sect that says this is somehow going to fix a problem that they don't even know if they have. But we live in a world where people want to grab a hold of a problem and run with it. And because of that, we now have this idea that carbon's our problem. The truth of the matter is carbon is not our problem. The reality is if you actually look into the manufacturing of a majority of our renewable energy sources, they produce more pollutants than we ever have through any of our quote-unquote fossil fuel energy sources. And they need to get back to that. I mean, the number of barrels of oil is required to set one single offshore windmill base. It's literally hundreds of thousands of gallons of diesel fuel. You guys, we need to start asking the question, do we care about the environment? If that's what we're doing, then why are we doing what we're doing? Instead, let's take technology that we know works. Let's make sure that we continue to permit and build clean, cost-effective power plants that burn Wyoming coal, that give Wyoming people jobs, that take care of our economy. Right now, we're more concerned about other people's economy than we are our own, and we will die because of it. So it's important that we step up and understand that the narrative being driven to us is not a narrative that actually will build America, build Wyoming, or build our culture. It's only going to destroy the greatness that we are. So we need to stand against that. Next, you're going to be hearing from Senator Tim French as he shares his heart.
Thank you, Representative. First of all, thanks to Senator Steinmetz for organizing that. I appreciated that it was scientifically based comments from those four individuals. I mean, some have been in their different fields 50 years. I mean, they know what they're talking about. And on a more personal level, as a farmer, I need a lot of CO2 to grow my crops. I really do. You know, for that alfalfa I grow that feeds those cows, that provide that steak, provide that hamburger for the population, for that malt barley that I grow that provides the raw material for the beer people drink, and the malt. And malt is used in a lot of things. And lastly, I'll say, the thing that really shocked me was when I asked the one individual, I forget his name, how much space would it take for the wind turbines to possibly power the United States? And he said, 10 Wyomings. Now think about that, 10 Wyomings. That's the eastern edge of Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, west. Almost every inch of the entire west covered in windmills. To me, that was just astounding figure. So, you know, we need that CO2. It's, you know, there's a lot of hype out there from different individuals, but in my world, my business, I really need it. And I use a lot, my crops use a lot of it. Thank you. Next would be Representative Pendergraft.
Thank you, Senator. It's been said that there are two sides to every story, and I would suggest that there might be three or four. I would also suggest that good leadership doesn't happen unless all the sides come to the table and share their views, and then we can make policy out of a position of knowledge and understanding rather than just a position of opinion. We extended an offer to our governor to come and listen to what we had to say and to share his views as well, and he declined. I extend that offer again. Mr. Governor, would you please come and speak with us that we might do the right thing for the people of Wyoming? With that, I will turn this over to my good friend from Casper, Senator Bob Iyer.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the press. Credit goes to Sherry for organizing this and taking the lead on this issue here. My colleagues have said it very well. I won't try to say that all over again. All I will say was it was profound yesterday with real scientists with no agenda, given their opinion, nothing more, and given us the facts and the data. And the main takeaway for me on this was one of the last scientists, the younger gentleman, and I think this should be maybe our new slogan for carbon capture when he said it's unnecessary, it's costly, and it's dangerous. So that to me would be all of the above. So thank you, and I would like to introduce Representative Scott Heiner from the southwest part of the state, from House District 18.
Thank you, Senator. Back in 1847, when the first pioneers came through this part of the country, Jim Bridger told them that he would give them $1,000 for the first bushel of corn that they could raise in the Rocky Mountains. Wouldn't it be nice to show Jim Bridger what we're raising today here in Wyoming? Not only corn, but fruit, peaches, all those sort of things. And it's because of the CO2 increase that we've had in this area. We have been able to grow crops that we never would be able to grow here in Wyoming in the past. CO2 is the gas of life. It's not a pollution. It's not pollutant. It's the gas of life. The University of Wyoming is doing experiments in the greenhouse there on campus with adding CO2 to their greenhouse with phenomenal results. It increases the growth of plants, and it makes them more vibrant, and they grow faster. This is all a false economy, a false front about CO2 warming. What a drain it has on our economy. It would be interesting to know how much of a burden it is on the Wyoming economy, as well as the economy of the United States and the world. What could we do with our world if we weren't spending so much money on CO2 and declaring it as a pollutant? I want to now introduce a good friend of mine, Senator Anthony Bouchard.
Thank you, Representative. Also, thank you, Senator Sherry Steinmetz, for having this press conference. You know, I think what we really have a problem here is we need to go back to sixth grade education. Because if anybody remembers that, plants produce glucose. They take in CO2, it's a plant food, and they expel oxygen. The system is self-regulating. If you look at how CO2 actually filters, how it moves, it's excited and it moves from the sunlight. And it actually, if you didn't have CO2 in the upper atmosphere, we would be too hot. So it actually does filter. It doesn't just, you know, the narrative is that it filters it going out. It won't let it reflect out. Well, isn't it keeping heat out as well? Does it only work one way? Is it a check valve? It isn't. Go look at real science. And that's the problem. I think there's a famous comedian that said it best. He said, they're getting every dime's worth out of the education system so what they can dumb down people and get them, just keep them smart enough to push the buttons on the machines. That's what our education system has done. And you laugh. I'm looking at you laugh, sir.
You're pointing out.
Well, that's because I see the snicker on your face. And let me tell you something. I asked an earth science major, how much CO2 is in there? Is there 10%? Is there 20%? And you know what her answer was? This is a UW earth science major. She said, oh no, more like 40%. And my response was, we would be dead. Now, if students don't know how much CO2 is in the air, it's because they're not being taught in school. And this is all dangerous. We got people that meet in Davos. 1,500 private jets flew in to tell us how to live. If they're gonna tell us how to live, they should lead by example. And there it is, a problem from the elites telling us that there's a serious problem and no science to back it up. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I would challenge all of you in the media to look at the science. Look at how much CO2 is in the air. Look at how it actually works, how the system is balanced in the upper atmosphere. It's really not that complicated. I'd like to introduce Representative Ottman.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here, and I'm so glad to see the press of
all different sides and backgrounds. And that's one thing that I think in this world that we are missing in medicine and also in this climate discussion. We're missing information. When you look back at doctorates and you look back at medical papers, there's books and books and books of findings over 30 years, 50 years, and all kinds of different information coming from different experiments. That's the same with this climate thing. There is not just one agenda. In a day where we're so concerned about our young families and our children, these children are being told through their curriculums and also through the press, through the news, and through everything else, you're doomed. You are doomed. If we don't do this and this and this, our world is going to blow apart. We are going to starve. We are going to do this, and that is not right. Last night, I commend Senator Steinmetz and the group that came and took the time to give findings to us that show a different side of information. And I believe that we should always have that on every topic, not just one side, but all of them. And we as policymakers, if we're making decisions for our constituents, especially in a rural district like mine, we need to know all avenues of better information, not just one. So in a state where the media is very limited, really, we have a few sources, I would encourage you to do that. And I know it's more work and you have families as well, but we owe it to ourselves and to our posterity and to our country to do that. I'll just finish on one other thing. There's been so many wonderful comments. There is an agenda out and there's think tanks around. And one of the things that they put forward here in the last 5 weeks was the United States became the industrial powerhouse that we have been because of manufacturing. It started in the 1800s and it progressed and progressed and got better and better. All right? So what they're thinking is to alleviate poverty in these impoverished third world countries, they will do the same. So their thought, and I couldn't believe I heard it, but their thought is to bring the United States back pre-manufacturing so that the carbon credits that are saved here could go to those countries. That will destroy this nation. And they are people in places of influence. And so I ask you, please do your homework and please find out what the other side of the story is and let everybody else know so that they can make their determinations and decisions as well. I bring next to you a good friend and colleague, John Bear.
Thank you all for being here. I'd like to wrap this up for us all. And first of all, I'd like to thank Senator Steinmetz and Chairman of the Ag Committee for putting together the hearing yesterday and for the CO2 Coalition for attending and sharing a lot of high-level scientific information. I would like your listeners and readers to know that that information and that hearing is available on the Wyoming Legislature YouTube page. And there is a great deal of very important information that really needs to get out to the public. You've heard from my colleagues here today that we have concerns in education, that this truth that was shared with us last night is not getting to the people who need it most, our future generations. So I do hope that you'll all share that with your readers and listeners and get that information to them. We have been criticized for challenging leadership within the state of Wyoming, both elected and non-elected, that have not spoken out about this truth that we were hearing about last night. The problem is, folks, that if we don't stand up for this, this truth that you've heard from my colleagues today and from the scientists yesterday, then who will? Who will? So it really comes down to a leadership issue for the state of Wyoming. I guarantee you that the people understand the science. They do understand that their crops, that their industries will be crippled if we don't start working towards truth. And Wyoming and our leaders need to stand up to the bulwark, which is an ideological difference, not based on truth, based more on the idea that we can change our world without human activity. the Rock Springs RMP is all about removing human activity. That's not Wyoming. That's not our way of life. We're about being out in the wild and in the great outdoors that Wyoming has. The last thing we want is to be prohibited from accessing those things. The last thing we want is to be prohibited from using our natural resources so that we can continue to fund our education system. I want to close with one last thing. It was mentioned earlier that there is a false market out there for the CO2, and that is absolutely true. We're creating cost upon cost upon cost, which is going to affect the citizens of Wyoming as well as everywhere else in the country. But there's also a true market for CO2. So I don't want to paint with too broad of a stroke that all CO2 markets are bad. There is a good CO2 market, and that is when CO2 is used to help extract our oil. It's called enhanced oil production. If the government would get out of the business of trying to cap levels of CO2, which has been proved to us last night is not a pollutant, if they would get out of the business of restricting that without bringing our environment down to the level of places like China and Russia, we still need some restrictions on some things, but we can do that. We're America. If we would treat CO2 realistically and allow for that market for enhanced oil production, America could again lead in exporting our great resources to the rest of the world and lowering their costs in these third world nations, which were also mentioned. You know, that's what the American dream is really based on, is low cost energy and the ability to do things that other people are not able to do. Bring good ideas to market. And with that, I'll close. We just want to reiterate that the CO2 Coalition, who paid for their way out here yesterday to share with the people of Wyoming, we appreciate that effort. We appreciate the high level of science and research they put into that effort. And we do appreciate Senator Steinmetz, the chairman of Ag, for bringing them in here for a real hearing for the American people and the Wyoming people. Let's fight for Wyoming, America's last hope. Thank you.
And there you have it, folks. Beginning to end, soup to nuts, all of the actual content of what happened during that press conference. Not an opinion, not a portion, not a clip. We're not the cow pie. Doing it live, doing it real, and doing it in its entirety, backing it all up with facts and data. And don't forget to stay tuned into the Independence Network to catch the entirety of that CO2 Coalition presentation to the Oversight Committee from earlier in the week. We'll be playing that again and possibly throughout the weekend here on the Independence Network. And let me know if you want to have that posted to the podcast so you can access it at your leisure. You can send that email to Joey at justblamejoey.com. And I'll see what I can do about getting some of this long play, intensive presentations, hearings, committees, anything you want that I can get my hands on. I'll go ahead and throw it out onto the podcast so that you can access it at any time. Other than that, we're going to stick with the facts and data here. Not all weird science is bad science. Here's a little Oingo Boingo to send you off into your day.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
And pieces, bits and pieces, bits and pieces, bits and pieces. My creation, is it real? It's my
understand my intentions.